This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I'm a almost entire lifer. I started when I was like 12 or 13 years old and I'm now 40. So it's been quite a long time. I've pulled from my eyelashes and eyebrows since I was really little. And I think that that stemmed from being bullied about a unibrow when I was really little, but it really spiraled and it's just become part of who I am. And I'm genuinely happy with it and don't mind. Like, I've grown my eyelashes in multiple times in my life and it just feels like it's too heavy. So this is who I am. I'm finally happy with that. You know, when I was pregnant with my two kids, at one point I definitely pulled from my scalp and that was short-lived. It was definitely a symptom of what was going on with my body with having babies, but it's continued. I, you know, continue to pull my eyebrows and eyelashes on a daily basis and genuinely don't mind anymore. So definitely matured in my BFRB to a good place. And I remember going to the Heart and Soul retreat with Christina years ago before COVID ever hit and learning from her that we just want to get to the point of being weller. I finally feel like I'm at that weller stage.
I remember listening to our episode and listeners, I'm going to break the fourth wall here. I'm going to link her episode, the first one, so that you can listen to it. You can click that, listen to it first if you want to before we dive in here. But I remember you talking about going to the retreat and how amazing it was. I know that they have started up again. Have you thought about maybe going to another one?
I didn't know that they have started up again. I need to find this information because yes, I actually really want to take my daughter too. She doesn't pull her hair yet. She doesn't technically pick her skin, but I would consider her to have a BFRB and she sucks on her two middle fingers on her left hand and bites her nails to all get out, which I've always done my whole life too. I have to have fake nails on so that I don't, but I think it would be amazing for her. It was one of those things I'd wished that I'd known about it when I was younger. I didn't find out about it until I was in my late 30s. So the ability to bring her while she's young would be amazing.
Yeah, I think they had one in September, this past September, but and Christina was there, and I think they will do it again, you know, with more information. This is like the first one that was done in a while. I was not able to attend, but I too want to go to a retreat. Can you tell us like what made it so special to go?
Just being surrounded by people who had the same problem, the same disorder as you. And I remember looking around and being like, every single one of these people are so beautiful. Maybe I am. Maybe this is okay. And it clicked so many things for me. It was a very emotional weekend and I came back feeling a million times better in so many different ways, even just beyond my BFRB, but just the connections that I had made and the ways that my journey has changed since then. But I think it is like those connections with people who actually get it, people who aren't sitting there telling you stop biting your nails or stop pulling your hair out because they get you can't just stop. It was really refreshing.
And I love to see also, I went recently to the TLC conference for the first time in October, and people of all ages, all over the world, someone from Australia, someone from Japan, the UK, you know, everybody, and you're coming in here and you just bond. You just start talking and you're not nervous at all. You just talk. And it's not even about BFRBs. You just talk and you become friends. It's really amazing.
It is. Yes. And like going there and being able to not feel like you have to put on eyeliner, not feel like you have to draw your eyebrows in or whatever the case may be, not feeling like you have to wear a wig if that's your side, but going there and just being 100% genuinely yourself is such a relief. And it teaches you that you can just be yourself in everyday life and you are still beautiful and lovable and can make friends. And it's wonderful. The community is so important with this.
And I remember Last time we spoke about medication, I think a little bit. We were starting an antidepressant. We were seeing how things go. Can you tell me what has changed since then? Any new things? Anything different?
Yes, I've been on the antidepressant, it's Fibrid. I've been on that for a couple of years now, and it's been really beneficial. I actually paused it for a hot minute just to see what would be different in it. I realized how bad my anxiety was and how much more it caused me to want to bite my nails and pull and things like that. But I had a recent incident, my doctor, and she's been pushing me to try naltrexone for at least a year now. And I kept saying no, kept saying no. I didn't like I told you, I'm really happy and I've accepted that this is who I am and it feels good. And I'm not harming anyone. I'm not harming myself. So I'm totally okay with it. I'm getting married in May. And in my last visit with my psychiatrist, she was like, wouldn't it be so lovely to have eyebrows and eyelashes for your wedding? And she was really pushing hard on it. And I was like, fine, that's fine. I'll try it. It's one medication. It's not expensive, whatever. I tried it and it was the worst experience of my life. And like I've been through kidney stones while pregnant. That was pretty rough. This was awful. And it felt like the only way I could describe it was it felt like my brain broke. So I took the medicine, it took my very first dose, and it within maybe a half an hour, I started to feel like I had completely lost any touch of reality with my brain. I literally had to go lay down. It felt like my eyes were moving in every possible direction at this incredibly rapid speed. I was having incredibly awful thoughts in my brain. And luckily, you know, my kids went off to school that day and, you know, my fiance was able to take care of them and get them home from school and all that kind of stuff. But it literally persisted for an entire week. Like I ended up having to go into the emergency room, the toll that it took on my body. I was in getting infusions to try and regain any sort sense of nutrients, just to try and push this medicine out. And I did all this research. And in the time since we last spoke, I've had weight loss surgery. And what this medication does, they say that it helps with addictions. So it's great for anybody who's trying to, you know, wean off of opioids or severe alcohol addictions and things like that. But all the research I did is like you do it in really small starting doses. And I started at a really high dosage of it. And the one pill just completely spiraled, but it's also utilized for weight loss medication. It's food addiction as well. And so having taken that on top of what I was already on, I feel like it was a counteraction. And so I learned very quickly, A, anything that my doctors recommend, even if I say yes in the moment and let them prescribe it, I am going to research the heck out of it. But B, also not to get bullied. Like I was like, I don't know. It felt like she was pushing so hard for me to take this. And she pushed into that one place of, wouldn't it be lovely to have eyebrows and eyelashes for your wedding? It was like microaggression of bullying to an extent. And it was a huge, like I lost a week of my life. I lost a week of work. It took away PTO that I was going to be utilizing for the wedding, things like that. But it was just the physical toll that it had on me. And luckily I was in a safe space and I had people watching over me, so I couldn't do anything to harm myself. But honestly, if I'd been alone, I fear that that might've happened.
I'm so sorry that happened. Oh my gosh. I know that the whole week, when did you start feeling like yourself again? Was it after that first week or did it even take longer?
It took a little bit longer. I didn't drive for a little over a week because I didn't feel like I could even control my body enough to do so. I was back to work. So this happened on a Tuesday. I was back to work. I tried to work a little bit on Friday, but I wasn't back to work until finally that following Tuesday. And it was still like at a part-time pace just because I wasn't fully there yet. I feel like I was finally myself maybe 2 weeks later, but it took a while. And when I called my doctor, she's like, oh, it has like a 4-hour half-life, so you should be fine later today. And it just continued to persist and persist and persist. And it's the different medications that we're on, the different things going on in our bodies, things like doctors try, but they're not aware of everything. And even if it works for one patient, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. So a lot of lessons learned in that moment, but it took me a bit, and I actually haven't even called and like fired her as my psychiatrist yet, because every time I would think about it, I would just start to cry again and get really angry that this happened. And I lost my cousin to suicide back in 2002, and it was due to counteractions of medicines that she was on. And it took me a really long time, you know, having been dealing with anxiety and obviously BFRBs my whole life. It took me until I was in my mid-30s, Yeah, mid-30s to decide that I was actually willing to try an antidepressant. And I went into that, in my first couple of meetings with the psychiatrist saying I was really nervous about medicine, but I wanted to investigate. So she understood all of the reasons why I was hesitant, and then she pushed this thing. So it was traumatic. It was definitely, the hardest thing I've been through in my life, but made it through and try to keep that in mind as I go through, different things with my kids now.
And you are going to find someone else, right? You kind of mentioned that.
Yes. I'm still researching. She's actually only the second psychiatrist I ever saw. I saw one when I was, shortly after my cousin had passed away, and the psychiatrist actually cried during my first session, so I never went back. But I just need to find the right person because I do want to continue on the fiber that I'm on. I feel like that's a great thing for me, and I need to continue on that. But yes, 100% need to find the right person.
I'm going to be writing about this later, but when I went to the TLC conference, a psychiatrist was talking about his experience and how he said a lot of things that I didn't necessarily agree with. And one of the things that he said was that, we're treating all the comorbidities. Like, he had case study after case study of a 15-year-old on six different medications, a 23-year-old on one medication, but increasing for the duration of her life. And it really made me upset because when I was younger in high school, I was willing to try everything. I was nervous, but I was willing. And the psychiatrist that I went to, trying their best, I'm hoping, but had me on this cocktail of like five different things. And in the morning, I'm, swallowing five different pills. It didn't feel right. Something was off at now that I look back as an adult. And what made me mad is that that was 16 years ago. And the same medication that the psychiatrist was talking about at the TLC conference was the same medication they prescribed me. So it's like there's so much research happening. There's community members speaking up, and yet still, the psychiatrists that don't have BFRBs but are treating patients are using the same things from 16 years ago.
We should have made more progress than that. It's really frustrating to hear. And I can't imagine as a 15-year-old having to take a cocktail of five pills every single day. And even now, like I do sometimes, but it's like my allergy pill and my vitamins and all of that kind of stuff. And then my Vibrid. But I can't imagine at 15 years old having to take all of that. And then just for it to really not do anything. And that's honestly the problem, is that so many of these medications that we're on don't help. And there are natural things that do help. And it part of it, like honestly, for me, I feel like it's finding the time and building time into our days to be able to do some of the more healthy things that help with it. I know listeners can't see this, but like I've got a walking treadmill behind me, right behind my desk. Do I use this every day? No. Do I use this once a week? No. But would it help me if I did? 100%. It's just finding the time. And we're, as a society, we're so busy, 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 moving all the time, working so hard, chasing whatever it is, that we don't find time to do the things that are healthy for ourselves.
It alarmed me when he said, "It's going to be trial and error." I'm like, with our brain chemistry? Like, he said that to these people, like to the whole crowd. And I'm over here pissed. I'm over here like writing in my notebook, like, I can't believe he said that. But with our brains, I mean, I can't, a lot of trial and error. I couldn't believe it. I was very, and there was no, absolutely no talk about the things that we can do every day that are healthy and, maybe things we wouldn't have thought about before. Like you said, the walking treadmill. It was just, here, take all these. Let's
Yes.
try it.
Yes. They try to just throw medicines at us. And I have a friend who was suffering from depression and just went to his general practitioner, and they were like, oh, well, if you lost some weight, then they want to push, weight loss medication. And it's no, I'm just like, life is hard. I always joke, but when we were growing up, they talked about what life was going to be like when you were an adult. And it is nothing like that. And some of that's COVID and all the political climate that we're going through and climate changes. And like, it's hard. But to not, see somebody and say, yes, life is hard and I can see that you're struggling. Let's figure out ways that we can help you. It's just immediately going to either medicine or, saying you're fat, basically. So it's frustrating that. But then the other side of it is so much of the research of what works with medicines have been done on men and not on women. And that is one of our biggest struggles too, is that there's nobody really testing out the ways that our brain chemicals work and the ways that it's going to impact our bodies and the things that are happening with us and our different set of hormones and whatnot. And that Like I always wish that I would have continued my education into the space of being able to do research. I studied neuropsychology and that was one of my favorite subjects. And I always look back and think I probably should have continued on that. I feel like maybe I could have changed something.
Hey, you still have time.
That's
You can
true.
go back. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Come
I
on, Jen.
really should. Gotta find time in my
After the wedding.
life. Actually, yeah. When you're done wedding planning, finding something to occupy all the excess time, maybe.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. I know for me, I haven't worn, like you, I don't wear anything on my eyes, like the mascara or anything. One of the reasons is because I was like curling my lashes and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a full set again. Here we go. And then I like tugged and I guess it made my eyelashes brittle and like six came out, like this big chunk. And I'm like, oh, start all over. So, anywho, in preparation for the wedding, I was noticing that, of course, my eyelids are itching. The sensation is there. It wants me to pull. And I pulled a few and I said to my now husband, I was like, I'm like in my head. I was like, I don't usually care about this, but like because there's a wedding coming up, I'm like all nervous that every eyelash counts. I know it doesn't actually, matter at all. I'm not even wearing eye makeup for the wedding. So like, what does it matter? And he was able to just be like, yeah, like you know how you really feel, And so even in my state of like even in my mindset where I am right now, where I'm like, I really don't care what is going on. Just because the wedding was there, I started to care a little bit and I had to check myself. How has it been with you?
It's the wedding is less of a priority or problem, I guess, but I actually spent the last, I don't know, 2-ish months. I participated in a study. I think it's Kent State, maybe it was in Ohio, but it was specifically related to habit aware and BFRBs and just tracking. And so I had to go through and fill out this survey a couple times a day, and it was like chunked in 4-hour bits or whatever, but it was, tracking, did you pull? How many times did you pull? How long did you pull? What were you doing? Where were you? And what was kind of your, what were you feeling? And it, I don't know if it was just like the being more aware of it, but I don't know if it felt like I pulled more or if it felt consistent. But then there would be days where I would be like, oh, I didn't pull at all. And it would just like put me right back in that mind frame of trying to stop. And then I would pull again. And but I am no longer upset with myself. So even with the wedding, like, I don't know. So far, and maybe when it gets a little bit closer, it's not until May. Maybe when it gets closer, I might worry about it. I didn't. So I've been married and divorced and didn't bother me then. What bothered me was like I felt like I had to have, and this was before I got my eyebrows microbladed. But it was like I felt like I had to have my eyebrows drawn in just perfectly and my eyeliner not to smudge while I was going through labor with my daughter. And I look back on the pictures because they send somebody in to take pictures in the room within the day or two of the kid being born. And they didn't prep me. They didn't tell me when somebody was coming. All of a sudden, someone was there and I'm in like, pajamas. I had just gotten done nursing. I hadn't done anything with my hair. And like all, looking back at all the pictures, I'm like, oh my gosh, I look awful. And my eyeliner is just completely smudged. But I don't know. It's just a memory of a time in my life. I look back on pictures from before when before I had weight loss surgery. And I'm like, they're not my favorite pictures, but they were a time in my life and they were important. They were when I had my babies and that's a part of who I am. So try not to put the pressure on myself, but we'll see if it creeps in when the wedding gets closer.
Can you talk to us about if you were even aware of the shift, but being able to look at old photos? And like for me, when I used to look at them, I'd be like, oh my God, actually, I want to rip them up. I want to burn them. I'm glad my mom kept them now. But at the time, I was like, why would you ever take my picture? How did you shift from maybe that feeling into now feeling this, kind of gratefulness for the human that you were back then?
I don't really know when the shift happened, but I think I started to realize that like every single human is distinctly different. And whatever it is, we all have some level of differentness, neuroses, whatever it is. Like for the longest time, especially when I was little, I thought that pulling my hair was like my way of almost like self-harm. And there are times, yes, that like when you pull, it can hurt, especially in the very beginning of it. Like now it doesn't really hurt. It just feels good. But I realized that, you know, whatever it is, everybody dresses differently. Everybody does their hair differently. Everybody's got different skin. Some people have acne. Some people have beautiful skin. Some people are pale. Some people, like whatever the, whatever it is, we're all different. And I felt so awful as a teenager and as an early 20s person, feeling different for not having hair on my eyes. But like, I realized that honestly, and you can edit this out, but like, who the fuck cares? And I really became absolutely okay with it. And it feels good for me. I like, you know, I like drawing my eyeliner, and that's the one piece of makeup that I put on almost every single day. And honestly, like, it wasn't until a couple of years ago, I think it was when I was going through my divorce, I got my own house and it was just me and the kids, that I actually started taking my eyeliner off every single night. For my whole life, from 13 until late 30s, I kept my eyeliner on every night. I'd wake up with it super smudged, but it was like, oh my God, if my house burned down and all of a sudden my house was like flooded with firefighters, couldn't let them see me without eyeliner. That was how awful I felt about it. And then I, you know, went through divorce and I became myself and I stopped walking on eggshells and I was totally okay. And I would go to bed every single night like it. And my kids would see me like it and they felt great. And they never judged me. I started to feel totally myself. And when I met my fiance, the very, very first night that we ever had a sleepover, he was like battling, just, it was weather changes. And so he had like one of those nose patches on to help yourself breathe, like breathe right strips or whatever. And he felt so embarrassed by it. And I was like, I hadn't gone into the bathroom yet to like take my eyeliner off because I was nervous about it. And so I had a conversation with him and he was like, let's do this. We went in the bathroom. I took my eyeliner off and he told me that I was beautiful. And it was like, I don't know. It just really, I felt just seen for myself, and it was part of the many reasons why I fell in love with him. But it was a very defining moment for me, I felt like.
And from then on, do you wear makeup, you know, in front of him? Or was this one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'm taking it off every night now. Like, I just don't even wear it.
Oh, I take it off every single night, every single night. And I'm to the point, like, my daughter will have sleepover and I don't worry about, you know, brushing to put eyeliner on in the morning. Or we have family and my fiance's family will come and, you know, sleep over. We'll have like Christmas parties, or we all every summer we'll go and do like a little family weekend away up in Wisconsin Dells or something. And I don't feel like I have to put eyeliner on, and it feels so good. Like, it's just so healthy for my eyes. I feel like I was just like constantly putting eyeliner on. And for the longest time, since I was literally 13 years old, I used the exact same eyeliner. It was a technical liner from MAC in the color Eau de Blue. It was like a defining piece of my personality. And they discontinued the color, and then they discontinued the line. And I've struggled and struggled and struggled. And I finally got myself to one, and it still doesn't feel as great as what the technical was. They're getting a little bit better, but it was weird to go from being, you know, blue eyeliner to being in this, like, you know, I think it's like a black brown type of color that I use now, but it felt like I literally just got my hair colored yesterday and I have this like giant chunk of blonde in the front, which feels different to me, but it took me weeks to get used to going from blue eyeliner to black eyeliner. It's just a change of who I am, but it feels good to be able to take it off and to, you know, to feel okay just being me.
Before, when we spoke, we talked about how, you know, you made a post on the internet, and so like coworkers saw it, and you were becoming more and more open about it with your fiance's family. Was it a conversation that you had with them, or was it something that you don't really even really talk about?
Honestly, I don't feel like I have to talk about it. I think I've told Tiffany about it just because she and I, you know, we get a little bit more like one-on-one time. So I feel like I've told his sister about it, but nobody's ever really questioned it. There was a time, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 years ago now, but my ex-husband's family, he had his family get together every Christmas Eve, and there was family that came from other states. And this was when it's gotta be 12 or 13 years ago now, because it was like when we first started dating. It might've even been before we got married, but his cousin's daughter, they lived in Colorado. I had met them once before at their family reunion the year we had first started dating. And so this was maybe like, I don't know, 6 months later, but we, you know, everybody was like saying hello at this big Christmas party or whatever. And somebody's like, oh yeah, you met Jen. You remember her from the family reunion? And she goes, no, I would have remembered those eyebrows. And it's those, like, those moments that you will remember forever. And I can laugh about it now, but I remember that moment where I was just like, they're that bad. And then I felt awful. And this, like, literally 5-year-old child made me feel awful for a hot minute. But yeah, no, nobody in the family has asked me about it, at least. Maybe they've asked Chris about it and he hasn't told me. But I actually spoke on a very public forum through work. We had this series of calls. I'm trying to remember what they called it. It was like, it was something about identities. It was basically TED Talks that happened, I want to say maybe 7 or 8 months ago, but I was one of the featured speakers, and I did mine entirely about my experience with my BFRB. And I came on and I, you know, showed pictures and everything from like having nothing to when they were growing in to having nothing again to where I was, and talked about my journey. And I was like, I'm going to be as brave as I possibly can. And so it was something where like they had posted about it within my geographic unit of work. And so people were aware of it if they were reading, you know, regular email blasts or whatever. I took it upon myself to forward the invite to everybody within my working group across the world, inviting my bosses, inviting people that I was like really close with that I hadn't, you know, necessarily told about it. And so I had, I think it was maybe 7 or 8 minutes. I talked about it. I showed pictures and it felt so incredibly freeing. But the best part was just the number of people who messaged me afterwards who were like, I didn't know anybody at work went through this. I went through this. I still go through this, or my daughter's going through this. And just the connections and making other people feel seen was the entire reason I wanted to do it.
Wow. I'm like getting goosebumps thinking about those messages coming in, you know, and the being on the other side. One, it's amazing that you did that. Like, that's so courageous, you know, because this is something that many of us keep secret for a very, very long time, if not, you know, forever. But then to be on the other side, and I'm imagining somebody looking at you and see your pictures and thinking, oh my gosh, that's me. Wow.
And then just even the people who didn't resonate with them, but like seeing somebody and understanding, I always try to remind people that everybody has a different sized plate. You don't know what's on it. You can see what you can see, but there are things that you can't see, and you can't see what type of plate they have. Maybe they've got, you know, a nice sturdy porcelain big plate and it's not all that full, but maybe they've got this like, you know, crappy dollar store paper plate that's falling apart and they've got all these things weighing on them and whatever the case may be. And I think that was part of my message, was like, you don't know what somebody else is going through, and let's not judge people. Yeah, you may see me in my, like, I remember there were times at work where I used to do in-person training and I would be on site with my team for 2 weeks straight, and it would get so stressful that at one point I would just, whatever growth I had, I would pull, and I would go from like a Tuesday evening having full set of eyelashes to all of a sudden having none and feeling like everybody was staring at me, just to be able to raise that awareness of like, you know, everybody's got something going on and there's no reason for us to judge one another, whether somebody decides that they're going to be on camera today or not, whether they look great or not, whether they're feeling 100% or not. We are all human beings, and human beings suffer every day. Thank you.